نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عدد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه الفضل. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد،
الحمد لله، praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are extremely grateful and thankful that today Allah ta'ala has again to a person like me, a sinful person, has given the ability, and Allah has enabled me that one more, not just the night of Thursday, has Allah granted to us. Rather, on top of this, in addition to this, Ashura, such a great bounty, gift. Allah has gifted us this day. Allah has given us the ability to attain this day as well. 10th of Muharram is the day of Ashura, and it is not a normal day. This is that day that Allah Ta'ala, from the beginning this month, Allah held it in high esteem, sacred, honorable day. Allah has given this the status. And how much in this Allah Ta'ala has instilled blessings, that from the most Allah Ta'ala has in this day, in this month of Muharram, and then especially in Ashura this day, Allah has included many different events in which are included great events, the incidents that occurred during this day. And in the same way, the last incident event that took place, significant event that took place on this day of Ashura, was in terms of historically, in terms of the human beings in the world, we can say it was a tragic event, and it was an event that gives us a big lesson. And it seems that in this event that took place on Ashura, Allah Ta'ala, He showed us, illustrated to us all of the history of Islam on this day. We could see the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, the battle of the Khandaq, the trench, and the conquest of Makkah, is what we can say. All of the complete history, a sequence that Allah Ta'ala showed, and Allah Ta'ala showed then an example on this day of Ashura. And history is gives us evidence, according to the amount that I know and I'm aware, that from any prophet in the history of mankind and his family, the family of the prophet, suddenly so many martyrs and so much martyrdom from just that family, we cannot get that example anywhere else. This is such an event that took place that the last prophet, the holy prophet, the beloved of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his family, in one go, not just young, but even children drinking the milk, to all the other children, many were martyred. In other words, this event, there's nothing that can compare. So my brothers, my colleagues, if we just look over this and forget about it, that doesn't do it justice. Most definitely in this event, there must be a very big lesson or a point. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's After 60 years, this was presented and all the situation had changed. The noble companions were passing away. The era of the Sahaba was disappearing. So at that time, when the situation was getting spoilt, then imagine the time after that, which, for example, now the time, the era that we're living in, what will be the situation today then? What will be the situation today? That which way has the deen gone now? When so quickly people have done ziyarah of the Sahaba, this is just a few decades after the Prophet ﷺ, if this was their situation at that time, how the deen was declining, and there were children of great Sahaba alive at that time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His selection, because everything happens based on Allah's wisdom and selection, until Qiyamah for the Ummah, for the believers. Allah ta'ala, to revive Islam, Allah gave such a message, and for which, that such a big action, this was such a big mission, and for such a big mission, Allah ta'ala selected that great individual for that day. They were the children of the Sahaba, Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu, was there. He was also from the Sahaba, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Zubair. There were many Sahaba whose children were there at that time, in that era. They were not small Sahaba. And there was Hazrat Hussein as well, radiallahu anhu, Imam Hussein. So to say this, that why did that Sahabi not do this? Why did he go there to confront? And why did he take that step, Hazrat Hussein? And this is the answer. That the more important is the mission, the objective, the target, the more important and high level individual Allah Ta'ala selects to do that work. All the Sahaba were there, unique. And their children were unique. They were high in status. But this event was so great in history that if the only person who could really fulfill the objective of this mission was from the family of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was their rightful, you could say, their right to do that. Why? Because the maqam, the level, the status that Allah Ta'ala, from all the anbiya, from all of the prophets, the glory status the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has, from all of the prophets, nobody can compare. And the qurb, the nearness that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, no other prophet had to Allah. And the miraj, the journey the Prophet ﷺ went through, no other prophet ever had that example. The kitab, the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ was given, nobody had that before. And the ummah that he had, ﷺ, nobody had an ummah like that. And the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet ﷺ, no family of any other prophet before could compare. And the companions, the sahaba, no prophet before could compare with his sahaba. So then, the test that he went through, no other prophet went through the test and the trials that he went through, our prophet. Imagine, all the prophets put their difficulties on one side and just take the journey of Taif and take those years, few years where the whole of the family of the Prophet was in prison and they weren't allowed to eat or drink. And even, you could say, to the basic necessities were stopped. And they could say that you could hear the children screaming from outside. This was the test. From that same family to present and fulfill that great mission, Allah Ta'ala selected also. For this day. And I will just sharing you my points. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, mashallah, you'll find people of learning, knowledge, who will share this event with you. But I'm saying this to you in my method. So Hazrat Hussein radhiyallahu anhu ta'ala selected, because this was from all of the children of the Sahaba there, but no one was made from the youth, the head of the youth of Jannah. Who was made? Who was given that title? The Hazrat Hussein radhiyallahu anhu. So who would get this honor, this status to get this such a great sacrifice? It's Hazrat Hussein. It's not a punishment. It's an honor that Allah Ta'ala gave to him. Allah Ta'ala didn't give him a punishment to Hazrat Hussein that he was martyred and all his family were martyred. No, Allah Ta'ala selected him for this test, for this work. So the more, the greater the honor, the status, the more maqam, the status Allah gives, the good news the Prophet gave. Allah said, oh Allah, I love Hussein. Allah, you also love Hussein. This was the status. And did the Prophet ﷺ put any of the children of the Sahaba in his lap and say this? Did any children of the Sahaba, did the Prophet ﷺ kiss them on their lips? And also, why did he used to kiss him on his neck? This shows that this neck would be martyred in the path of Allah. This is how much Rasul ﷺ loved him. So, the higher the status, the rank, that Hazrat Hussain radhiyallahu anhu had, that was the bigger the mission that he was given. Nobody can contest this. What was his mission that Allah gave to him on that day? Now it's such a small thing that such a great person and such a big sacrifice, and after giving that, to think, I'm just talking further, that showed the dalil against this, that Hazrat Imam Hussain, when he went there, and he went there to fight Yazid, so that to take him out from the leadership because he was compromising the deen. Look at the concept here. History tells us, isn't it? That he went there to fight a battle, and there was a battle, there was a fight, and because Yazid, he wanted to expel him, so he had to go there and fight him. But Hazrat Imam Hussain, is this his standard? That if it's about kingdom or leadership, then his bigger brother, older brother Hassan himself, he also had he was elder in age, he had more leadership, he had khilafat. So he said himself, you take it, we have no need for this. So then again, did he go there to get this khilafat and he was going to give such a big sacrifice to get the leadership back? So it cannot be that this was the mission, that he just wanted leadership. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this could not be the standard or the mission objective that Hazrat Hussain was going to get leadership or to become the king or to be the khalifa, that I want to be the leader. This was not the objective. No. This was not the mission was higher than this, greater than this. And Hazrat Hussain didn't want to go there to fight with Yazid or to kill him. And he was the children of a Sahabi. Yazid was the son of a Sahabi. And there was relationship. And there was respect. And there was connections. It's not the case that there was no connection between them. But what was the reason for going there to confront him? The reason for going was that his mindset had been, you could say, contaminated after getting the kingdom, after getting the leadership. And that leadership had spread so much, the ummah, so many people from outside had come into Islam, the children of the Sahaba, Tabi'in weren't there at that time, and non-Muslim people, the kingdom, the khilafah had spread far and wide, Islam, had it not? So it was a very dangerous time that the deen was spreading, and to spread the right deen, to deliver the right deen. So if a person becomes a king, the leader, and if his mindset gets spoiled and his deen gets spoiled, then he had a very weird, you could say, objective, Yazid. A weird objective. As a Shaykh al-Islam, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, in his kitab, Sunnatul Nabawiyya, what a great kitab, in that he writes that Imam Hussein, his murder, he was the shaheed, the martyr, dhulm was done against him. And he was slaughtered. And this was the zulm. The zulm is this, that when a person doesn't want to fight, he was not his objective to fight. Why are you killing him? Why are you physically, if he says, I don't want to fight. If I say to you, I don't want to fight, you say, no, I want to fight you. Who is wrong then? That person's wrong, you know, who physically confronts or encourages violence. This was not the objective of Hassan Hussein. He didn't go there. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, what a great research he did. He wasn't a liar, was he? Scholar, he said that Hazrat Hussein's objective was that because Yazid was spoiled, he was changing the deen, he was bringing new things into the deen, he had called out, he had said it loudly, exclaimed that Sharia and Sunnah for me is not necessary. This is for other people that this is compulsory. I am inheritor of this and my wakils, and I have no need to practice this. He said, it's not for me. He said that these laws will be on normal people, not for us. We can do what we want, he said. So he brought in a new deen. Tell me what a big fitna he started. Because fitna, disorder, confusion, and then obviously if this continued, because the era that was to continue after that, if this deen was to continue, then totally Islam would have been wiped out. Disappeared. Yes, for the kings, for the leaders, it would have been a different deen. For Mulana sahab, different deen. For Mufti sahab, different deen. For somebody, it would have been Sunnah necessary. For somebody, it would not be necessary. Sharia would have been necessary, or the law, and somebody else would not be following it and compromising. Do you understand what I'm saying? So make this lesson, learn this lesson, so that our aqeedah also can improve. So Hazrat Imam Hussain, with this regard, He also wrote to Yazid beforehand. He wrote to Yazid that what are you doing as the leader? And you are compromising the deen? And Yazid, he quoted to Yazid in a letter, who? Hazrat Ibn Taymiyyah, saying, that kitab, I've told you the name of the kitab. You can read that book that he wrote. In that book, he gives a reference of a great event. Fatima, there was a woman, Maksua. Maksu was a tribe, and she was from there, a girl, a woman. Fatima Maksu, and she stole. And it was a big tribe. It was a strong tribe. And there were lots of people in that tribe, strong. So when she steal, and then there was the had, the law was in, was on her, that the Sharia had to be invented, that cut the hand. And so big people, they came, and the Holy Prophet said, that Fatima Maksui, that if she was my daughter Fatima, even her hands, I would have to say that this is the order to be cut. That was the adl, the justice. And this is our Islam, my friends. Our forgiveness will be based on these principles, with this mindset, with this thinking, with this niyyah, with this intention. Remember this. No influence. A Muslim who doesn't have the standard of Sharia, of deen, in his life, then he doesn't have iman. He doesn't have iman. So if we see now today, let's look around ourselves today in the world. Think for yourself. Adal doesn't just mean that a person's a ruler and he's just. You are also the hakim of your home. And your wife, your children, and you. This is your kingdom, your realm. So the question will be asked from you about your children, everything. Why didn't your children pray salah? Why was your daughter like this? Why didn't she understand? You won't be forgiven. You are the hakim. And you have to implement the law and give nasiha, and you have to implement the sharia in your household. Yes. Understand what I'm saying? No. We were trying our best. What can we do? This will not happen. This will not succeed. Such a situation will not succeed. These are those people that, just like Hazrat Hussein did the decision at that time, based on what was right and wrong. Yes, you can't accept that he's done shahada, kalima, prayed salah. Who is practicing Islam, deen, sharia, Islamic law? Who is implementing that? Not the Quran. Sharia explains the law, the principles. Not just Quran. Everything that the Quran explains. That when you take a loan, what is the Islamic method? And how to repay the Islamic loan? How to repay the loan? Explain the tariqah. To help somebody, what is the Islamic procedure? Adab, manners, the manners and the principles of Islam in all of the actions of life. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, Allah says, fisilmi kaffa, enter wholeheartedly into Islam. So, this is mashallah, Hazrat Hussein, mashallah, he achieved that great objective that we need to understand. Now the people who are opposing deen, compromising the sharia, how many people they came to listen to Yazid and Mata, the family of Hazrat Hussein. There were their people from Tabi, and they were against Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu anhu. Yes, so no wonder this incident took place. Understand what I'm saying up to now? You understand the event? So this is Karbala. So what did Hazrat Hussein, Imam Hussein, want? That he left from his home. Did he want a battle? If it was a battle or fight, if he wanted to fight, then Imam Hussein, Hazrat Hussein was that personality, he was that human being, that Makkah, he could stand, and he could announce at that time that I'm going for a battle, who is there who will go with me? And 99% of the Ummah at that time would have left with him, and he would have had a big army, if he needed it. Understand what I'm saying? So all the Sahaba, when they used to announce for a battle, nobody would stop them. They'd say, yes, we're going with you. So the family of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, Ahle Bayt, grandson of the Prophet, no, some other thing. And if he announced a battle that I will fight him, he has done this, he has done wrong and wrong, then he would have had companions. But the surprising thing was that Abdullah bin Abbas was from the family of Hazrat, from his family. And he's loving him, he's crying, he's saying, Hussein, don't go there, for the sake of Allah, don't go there. And Hussein was not some minor individual. Whose son was he? Hazrat Ali radiallahu's son. In his house was ilm, knowledge, understanding of the deen, basira, vision. And who did he grow up? Whose lap did he grow up in? The lap of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He was not some small faqih, jurist. He was not some small imam. He was not a small zahid. He was not a small abid. He was not a small mujahid. His ijtihad that he made this decision that I need to go. This was ijtihad. Nowhere will you find this, what I'm explaining to you. What was this? Ijtihad he did. He did proper analysis and made a decision. And I say that Imam Hussein's decision, 100% it was correct, the decision he made. 100%. And you can have no criticism. Why did he go? Why did he take the young children? Why did he leave his children at home? This was his ijtihad, his own ijtihad. That's why great Sahaba, the son of his uncle, he didn't listen to anyone. He stayed silent. He himself could not understand that he isn't saying anything. He's not explaining to us. He's not talking about battle. He's not talking about making up. What does he want? He said, whatever I want, you don't know. You will not realize. Say subhanAllah. Are you listening? Listen to my bayan again after the event of Karbala. Isn't it, Mulana Sahib? Did you hear that? Have you heard these points before? So now what we need to see here is that this was the ijtihad of Imam Hussein. Ijtihad he did, because there could be no greater mujtahid than him at that time. This was the ijtihad which was not against the deen. 100% correct analysis he did. Yes? And the research he did, the assessment he made, the other Sahaba and the children couldn't understand. And he's taking, they're saying, why are you taking your children with you? They asked him when he went. Small children, why are you taking with you? What's the reason for this? They asked him. He said, there's no reason. He said, I'm not going to fight, battle. If there's no battle, then where are you going? Why are you going there to confront him? He said, I'll tell you. What was in his heart? I'll tell you. MashaAllah, what was in his heart? Tabligh, spreading the deen. He said that I'm not going to fight Yazid, I'm going to give tabligh to Yazid. Tabligh. One Sahabi, he's the son of a companion. And his mind is contaminated. He's deviated, so I'll go and speak to him. By chance, I want you to go home by the people of Kufa. They've made it easy for me. They're all munafiqeen. So they all knew everything what was going to happen. Yes, they'd seen what happened to his father. That what happened to his father, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. They knew that already, the people of Kufa. And he said, I will go there after that. I'll give the message to Yazid. I'll meet him. I'll confront him. And it's not about fighting or battle. Understand what I'm saying? Yes, you don't have to cry over this. The children, he took his children with him, he took his wives, he took his Aliyah, his sister, and there were many children on that journey. And they didn't go to fight, to have a battle, just to go and explain. So when they arrived there at the night time, when they realized, so at that time the khabis, wretched person, who was Ubaydullah bin Ziyad, he was very khabis, wretched person. Most of all, he was the individual who started he was the child of a Yahud. Something like that. And he wanted to see, soon as he heard they were coming, whether an order comes or not, that he got the army together, he got people ready for battle. What sort of battle is this? He said. Why are you stopping me? He said. Let's surprise him. There's nothing to stop here. They said, no. We're going to fight. What are you going to fight for? They asked him. Why are you going to fight him? Why are you going to fight Hussein? No. Yazid. He said, let me meet Yazid. That's what I've come for. And he stood there and he persisted. I'm telling you historically from the history. Four times he said that I want to meet Yazid. All I want to do is meet Yazid. I'm not coming to fight. And he got scared that if this happens, that the message gets to Yazid, that Hazrat Hussein wants to meet him, then all the situation will get spoilt. But we want to fight them before this message gets to Yazid. Why? Because when Imam Hussein, when he arrived there to Yazid, and the situation was this, that he will take his cap off and put it at his feet, then he will not have the audacity to fight him. He knew this. That such a great person is Imam Hussein. Tell me. So that person, he to play the whole game, deception, hypocrisy, said, no, we're going to fight. We're going to have a battle. He said, okay, if you don't let me meet Yazid, then I will turn back. Let me go back then. I'll go back then, I'll leave here. Because my mission was this, to come here, and I wanted to speak to Yazid. What do you want to say to him about kingdom? He'll give you. He said, no, we've given our kingdom leadership to him, just to come and give him dawah to improve himself. Anyhow. So to explain to him, to give tabligh, that's tabligh, isn't it? To explain verbally to people. Understand what I'm saying? But he didn't want to listen. That person wanted to fight. That hypocrite wanted to fight. What was the conclusion? the Karbala, we see the history, what happened there. And then the fight started, and with the istiqamat, they persuaded that we didn't want this. And then who was the battle with in reality? With this person. But Yazid also is not free, remember this, from the blame. Yazid is also not free from the blame. It cannot be that he was not included in this also. It cannot be. Understand what I'm saying? But he was clever that he didn't come to the front, so he used his people to go and fight Hazrat Hussein. Yes, because he also knew that Hazrat Hussein was in his way. Yazid knew this. He didn't want to confront him. This was the real clash, you could say. That somehow Imam Hussein, let's expel him from our way, from our path. But he himself did not want to come there himself, Yazid in front. Until the last moment he didn't accept. So who played this game? Who this? They all stepped back. He put his munafiqeen assistants in there in the middle. He said, oh, he said that, fight him. But it was himself who gave the encouragement. So he's not free from blame. But logically, he played such a game that he didn't come to the front himself. Yes, and he used his people to fight Hazrat Hussein. And the most foolish person, Ubaidullah bin Zayd. That was that person. Understand what I'm saying? So then we can see, we reached in Karbala the Shahada, the martyrdom. It started after 11 o'clock till Zuhr finished. And where 20,000 people fighting against 70 of the family of Hazrat Hussein, young children, they did the zulm, the oppression, and they wrote it in the history books just within a few hours. And the rest of the stories you hear, that this happened, that happened, all of these are made up stories. No one has the real story. Nobody. The Rafidi Shias, they've made up stories, they make people cry, they talk about Ashura, there's a reason for that. They do this. That if they themselves don't cry and they don't mourn, then they'll be caught out as the thieves, because they're wrong, because they were the ones behind it. They then, when they realize they've done wrong, then they started to mourn. Always you'll see, I have, this is my field, research, after murdering the murderer, he starts to regret. Why did I murder? Why did I murder? Why did I do wrong? They regret. Yeah, so the regret, the remorse comes. So this is that same qawm, the same people. Understand what I'm saying? They mourn today, they lament today, until Qiyamah they will be mourning and lamenting. They are the same. Because they keep beating themselves, and they will let their blood flow and do zulm on themselves. So this was one point. So Hazrat Imam Hussein, he's coming there to confront Yazid, to Karbala. And if we say this, why did he do this? Why did he bring his children? This is injustice. The Sahaba was stopping him. Why did he go to fight? Imam Hussein was totally correct. And the Sahaba were correct as well, who were saying to him not to go. They were thinking on their basis, on their minds, on their thoughts, on their knowledge. But Hazrat Hussein was thinking according to his understanding and knowledge. Now if Hazrat Hussein did not take that step, for the sake of not fighting, but for the sake of propagating the deen, spreading the deen, what are you doing? This is wrong. You should not bring this into Islam. This is wrong. Sharia and Sunnah, you are not punctual. You are compromising the Sharia and the Sunnah. This was his mission, to tell Yazid this. And they had full yaqeen that this will not lead to a fight. When I go and speak to him, that Yazid will calm down. He'll calm down, he'll cool down, and he'll listen to me. He had that confidence. Because mashallah, he has his status, that he will not doubt me, he will not oppose me, he'll be fine. That's the hope and the ambition that Hazrat Hussein had. So today, such a big step that Allah Ta'ala selected Hazrat Imam Hussein, and he took that step. That today, after many years have passed, what can I say? That people today, when Ashura come, then people, nobody is connected to this event on Ashura. Today, the fast on this day, there wasn't even Shahada, and the Sahaba used to keep the fast. Yes, the Shahada of Imam Hussein didn't even take place. They used to keep the fast. And they used to keep the fast on this day. So there's no connection with this event. This is a separate event. So the connection of this is with what? With the Ummah. With the Ummah of the Muslims. This is a message to the Ummah. SubhanAllah. So I'm just thinking here, that according to what I can take the verse for this out of the Quran. Wa inna Allah Rabbi wa Rabbukum. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. Surah Maryam. Now, who is Allah Ta'ala addressing? So, here's the Nabi now who's given the answer here. You can read the tafsir. He said, Wa inna Allah. Allah is here. MashaAllah. Allah is present. What? Rabbi, He is my Rabb, my Lord. Rabbukum, and He is also your Lord. Allah is present, He is my Lord, and He is your Lord. Rabb. The quality Rabb here, Allah Ta'ala mentions Rabb. Allah hasn't used any other attribute. Allah is saying Rabb. Because the biggest, when a person leaves the deen, the sharia, the sunnah, and he spoils his Islam, is due to not believing Allah is a Rabb. Where will I eat from? Where will I fulfill my expenses? How will I live in the world? I'm living poverty, I've got debts, loans. Economic problem of the stomach. This is what makes us lose iman. This is what makes us a disbeliever. This is what makes us wretched. This makes us migrate from land to land. Lying, fraud, murder, and deceit and deception. All of these things are happening based on the stomach. Money. Dunya. So at that time Allah Ta'ala is saying that inna la rabbi wa rabbukum, that the person who is looking after us, the creator who is looking after us, my Rabb is Allah, and Allah is your Rabb as well. Allah is your Rabb as well. So for example here, why am I saying this verse? For example, there's a farmer, and he sows the seed, the plant and the flower, and then the responsibility he takes for looking after that plant, he waters it, he gives it fertilizer and nourishes it and makes sure the weather doesn't kill it. Fully that farmer looks over and protects that plant, that flower, that crop. So if Allah has created you in this universe, then do you think Allah Ta'ala has not thought for you what He will give to you, the provisions? That do you think Allah Ta'ala is not responsible for your bread and for your food? Do you think Allah is not responsible, He doesn't care for your clothes? Do you think Allah Ta'ala is not caring about our food and our drink? So this is that same iman, the aqeedah that is not present inside us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't have the aqeedah that Allah will provide for us. Allah Ta'ala, we don't accept Allah as Allah. We don't accept Him as Rabb. If Allah is our Rabb, Allah says, Fa'budu, your job is to just obey me and leave the rest to me, Allah says. Whatever order I give to you, any action in the world, no power of the world should stop you from the hukum. Your salah, nor your shop, your business, nor should your children stop you, nor should your wife stop you. Whenever I give you a hukum and order, then you should be incumbent on you, compulsory on you, and you should say la to the rest of the world at that time. Isn't this correct, Mawlana Sahib, this verse? Does this not tell us this? The mu'min in the heart of the believer, apart from having this fikr, concern, that always I can be upside down, I can be zaleel, I'll be a munafiq, I'll be hypocrite, I'll be a disbeliever, I'll lose my iman, I'll go into zalalat, wretchedness, if I don't follow Allah Ta'ala's orders. He will sell His ilm, He will sell His knowledge, He will sell His deen, and we'll be ready, prepared to sell all of our deen for £4, because I don't have belief that Allah will fill my stomach. Everything in my life, I will do it for the sake of the dunya. The Quran, if somebody says this is the verse, I'll say, no, I don't believe in that. How will I earn the money, yaar? I can't follow the Quran. Let's leave here and go to another country. And people are stopping you. Don't do this. Rizq you'll get over there. Do this here. Just some time ago, a person came and met me. And he told me his history, what he's going through. That no food, no drink, wife, children, nothing. And so much loan, he said, I took out to come here. This is the method. People get a visa on the wife's name, and then they come, and then he's waiting for his own visa, and the lifetime passes waiting, they pay the agent. This is the system, isn't it, that's running in our lives, just to get a visa, an application on the passport. And I said to him, he said, I've got this degree. I said, so why aren't you working there? He said, no, I had to leave my homeland, come to this country, there's poverty there, there's no money there. I said, how rich are you here now? Your wife, she's run away. Your house, you don't have the house anymore. Where's your family? What are you going to get here? I said, I've seen people dying here. People dying. Poor soul dying. In the same way, no money, wife runs away, family run away. So what guarantees that every person who comes to this country, he'll be prosperous and happy, whether he'll be happy or not, but definitely he'll lose iman. He'll definitely be a liar. Definitely. How many times you have to sign false claims when you apply for the visa, then you do haram things, wrong dialogue. Is there no hisab for all of this? Reckoning for all of this? Why? Because we, Allah is saying, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ. One verse of the Quran is not enough for us. Allah is telling us. And the Prophet is saying this, Allah is giving to me and He will give to you as well. Rizq is given to me and He'll give wealth to you as well. Allah will give. The amount He wants to, you cannot increase it, nor can you reduce it. That at least have sabr and patience. No. He's got more money, why don't I have that much money? He worked as hard as I have worked as Azim. Let me work this way, take from this person, take a loan from that person, do this. All life long, the insan, the human being, his salah is wasted, his ibadah is wasted, his deen is wasted. We don't care about deen, that we have to go to the hereafter. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala says, then what ultimately will you achieve? Nothing at all. And if you want success, then have belief in Allah, that Allah is the one who gives rizq, the wealth, the money, and for your ma'amalat, assign yourself to Allah, do not reject Allah Ta'ala's deen, His orders, fa'budu, hada siratul mustaqim. This is the straight path. Allah says, this M6 direct will take you to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that will take you to Jannah. This is the route, the motorway. You otherwise will die wretched and hypocrite, and your generation will be wretched. You'll have no sukoon, no satisfaction. Lying, deception. Lying is lying and fraud is fraud. Don't do wrong and don't deceive yourself, because you'll not achieve anything. So, because you won't even get temporary love and peace in this world. What did Yazid get from his deception? This is what Hazrat Hussein went to explain to him. That you've got the kingdom, you're the Khalifa. Why you deviated? Why have you left the Sharia? That's what he went to explain. And today Imam Hussein, if he did not go there to remind him, then we today would be even worse as an Ummah. No, this is wrong. We don't have to do this. And that situation was considered. But when this event occurred, such a big barrier came that the question does not arise that the human being can never be successful as a believer until he does not adopt the Husseini method in his life. Understand what I'm saying? So it's sad to see, that such a great day, and that's such a great day, and very easily we reject this message. We use traditions and habits and customs to not go towards this message. Every day we made it traditions and customs. We are celebrating Ashura, we're celebrating this day or that day or this night. Then how? We are mourning or lamenting or crying, or somebody in this way is celebrating. Everyone has their own method. We're celebrating the day. But we're celebrating that day, the whole day we eat, have this food or fruit or mourning or the beating the bodies. Then the next day the same people who are crying, astaghfirullah, over Hazrat Hussein, and they were mourning. Those same women, the same men, the next day they're bareheaded, immodest, naked bodies, lying, shaving the beards, trimming the beards. Completely they were crying for Hazrat Hussein the day before, and they're living a life in opposition to him, just like Yazid did. The same woman is doing that. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. And we say that we want to go to Jannah, paradise. And the great achievement is this, that until today the deen has come to us, that if you cannot convince someone that the Holy Prophet Sunnah, what is his value? The Holy Prophet Sunnah, the value is that 17 of his Ahlul Bayt, he laid them down, but he wanted to revive the Sunnah. 70. This is the Sunnah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ. When Allah Ta'ala said that my love, no deed is great, no amal of yours is accepted if you want my love, Allah says, apart from one thing. What is that, O Muslim? That go and follow the tariqah, the method of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is why Allah Ta'ala explained this clearly, that not just as Hussein, by celebrating his day, then you oppose him the next day. The thing he stood for, to revive Sharia and Sunnah, you oppose that from the next very day. And you are celebrating his day, you're trying to remember Hazrat Hussein, his martyrdom. And from the next day you oppose his lifestyle. Is this the case or not? So this is the message of Hazrat Imam Hussein, that success cannot be achieved. If we, hada sirat al-mustaqim, if really we want that we arrive to Jannah, to paradise, there's only one method, that we need to embrace the sunnah. Eating, drinking, standing, walking, traveling, journey, everything. But the biggest thing from the sunnah is that inside our life there should not be lying, no fraud, no haram. Remember this. So my brothers, my colleagues, this is the event of Karbala, Hazrat Imam Hussein's martyrdom. This was his sacrifice. And the Ahlul Bayt that he sacrificed. And they took for our sake, so that we can understand and practice the deen. Whoever really loves genuinely Hazrat Imam Hussein, whoever really genuinely loves Hazrat Imam Hussein, his sign is just one. That in this world, if he goes to any corner of the world, alhamdulillah, he will revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the true lover of Hazrat Hussein. Sadiq, the wali Allah, he will be for this reason. Difficulties, problems, jail, in prison, he will persevere through everything, but he will revive the sunnah, ongoing. Most of all, he's the biggest wali of Allah who does this. And the last mission, that the mission of Hazrat Imam Hussein, that this was my responsibility, and he said that I am the high status of Muslim at this time, and whoever does the same action of me after me, he will be the greatest wali of Allah. Such places he will revive the sunnah that we cannot imagine the wali Allah will revive the sunnah. The wali Allah, if you get the sunnah through a wali Allah, remember this what I'm saying to you, then that is where you get the connection with Allah. Where you find the sunnah with the wali Allah, you will get the connection with Allah. So Allah says, if you want to find me in the company of such a wali Allah whose heart is alive, and their children, daughters have wrapped the sheet around them before they are cautious of going out. And the men have long beards, proper length beards, where the imam are with love and take the swears and the mocks of the people. This is the mission of Hazrat Imam Hussein. This is the house where the individual is reviving the sunnah, where there's no dunya. The rest is all a drama. My son's doing this, wife's doing this. Salah, you're praying at home, not going to masjid, compromising the sharia. Weird people have come into your homes. Someone's got this deen, somebody's got the aqeedah, someone's praying, somebody's not praying. All drama, my brothers. These are all deen that we've made up. Allah is telling, Hada sirati mustaqeem. Wa akhru da'wan anil alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Salatu wassalam. سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه ياسين الحبيب والنبيين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَسَلَّمْ تَسْلِيمًا دَائِمًا أَبَدًا كَثِيرًا 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 اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَذُنُوبَنَا وَأَزْلَنَا وَجَدَّنَا وَخَطَأَنَا وَأَمَدَنَا كُلَّ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَنَا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجة اجتهاجاتنا يا دافي البلية ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا كل طيب وجنات المتقين إماما Allahumma rabbil kama rabbayani sagira Allahumma ighfir lana wal walidayna wasalayna wa mashayikhina wa jami'il mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al-hayyu min al-awwal bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun Salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.